Take your Bibles, turn to Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6, and we're going to read responsively verses 1 through 8 of Exodus chapter 6. Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. Exodus chapter 6, we'll read responsively. I'll read and then you read verses 1 through 8. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with them a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. I appeared unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them, to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give to Abram, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it you for an heritage. I am the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we do love you, and we thank you for today. We thank you for the boys and girls that we hear downstairs. We thank you for the excitement that they can have coming to church. We thank you for the excitement that we all can have coming to church and hearing your word preached. And Holy Spirit, we need you this morning. I pray, dear God, that you be with every heart. I pray you to encourage those who may be a little down, a little discouraged, and may we leave here closer to you than when we came. Holy Spirit, use me now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Several times in the eight verses that we read just a moment ago, you see the phrase four different times, I am the Lord, which is the title of my message. I am the Lord. Just by way of introduction here, to preface my message a little bit, here is Moses. Moses is very discouraged. He's very frustrated here. You see, just a few chapters before, just a while before, he was called by God. Of course, Moses was a fugitive. You know, he murdered a man. We know that. And then he fled, of course, and he went to the backside of the desert. And he was a fugitive of the law. And, of course, we know out in the desert, God went ahead and spoke to him through a burning bush. This was the call of Moses. And God said, I got a special job for you, Moses. I got a big job, if you will, as well. You're going to lead my people out of the bondage, out of the world, Egypt, if you will, out of the hard bondage. And you're going to take them to a land which I promised. We know that account very, very well. And Moses, as we read earlier on, he has some excuses. I can't speak. I can't do this and so forth. Hey, you know what? I am sent you. You know what? Just don't you worry, Moses. God says, I'm going to go ahead and be with you every step of the way, and you will be able to do this job and so forth. So Moses, of course, takes the job. God gave it to him. And he goes to Pharaoh and says, basically, let my people go. And we know that. I want to kind of get right to the heart of the message, but let my people go. And Pharaoh hardened his heart. And as a result, he goes ahead and he puts more pressure onto the children of Israel, making them work harder as slaves and so forth. And you find here in our text, in our eight verses here, this chapter, if you will, Moses is very frustrated. You know, not only that, I think the nation of Israel is frustrated. God, you promised us that we would be relieved of this bondage, of this slavery, if you will, and here we are, you know, and nothing's happening and so forth. Moses went and gave it a shot. Pharaoh hardened his heart, and nothing just seemed to be going well. Let me just open with this this little story here that I came across. A young man was learning to be a paratrooper. Before his first jump, he was given these instructions: jump when you are told, count to 10, pull the ripcord, and in the unlikely event your parachute does not open, pull the emergency ripcord. When you get down, a truck will take you, or will be there to take you back to the base. Then the young man memorized these instructions, climbed aboard the plane. The plane climbed higher and higher and higher. I've been there. I've not been a paratrooper, but I remember, you know, I had to stop. I got to give a little advertisement here, but I remember the first time I ever jumped out of a plane. It was awesome. You know, I went parachuting before and skydiving. It was the most wonderful, thrilling thing in my life. But anyways, I know how this guy feels. Not exactly as the story goes on. But the young man, he memorized them instructions, climbed aboard the plane. The plane climbed to 10,000 feet. Then it went to 14,000 feet, and the paratroopers began to jump one by one. When the young man was told to jump, he jumped. Then he counted to 10, pulled the ripcord. Nothing happened. His chute failed to open. So he says, "Okay, I got this emergency ripcord." So he goes ahead and pulls that. Still nothing happened. No parachute. He was up there, and as he was sailing along downward to the ground, he says, "Oh, great," said the young man. "And I suppose the truck won't be there when I get down either." This young man was frustrated. You know, chute one didn't open, chute two didn't open, and you know, the way things were going, it says, you know, nobody's going to be down there to take care of me anyways, you know. And I think that's, of course, how I find Moses here a little bit frustrated. I think also I find the nation of Israel in this same kind of place a little frustrated, for they'd been in Egypt for 400 years. They entered Egypt with favor, but the winds of adversity and opposition began to blow. This was early on. And as a result, they found themselves slaves to the Egyptian people. By the way, Egypt is a type of world. When you find yourself in the world, Christian, you will become enslaved and you will be held in bondage, as we will see along the way. Now, the children of Israel, under the taskmasters of God's people, under the taskmaster of God's people, rather, endured heavy suffering and affliction. And in the midst of their trouble, God's people were crying out to the Lord. In Exodus chapter 2, I'll read a couple of verses in verses 23 through 25. "And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groanings, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel and had respect unto them." God didn't go ahead and forget these people. God heard their cries. He raised up an unlikely man to do a big job. That's Moses. Why was he so unlikely? He was a fugitive of the law. He killed a man. He's out the backside of the desert. He hadn't shown up to Egypt in over 40 years and so forth. He was back there, and now God has a special job for him. That unlikely man was an 80-year-old fugitive from the law, the one who would go ahead and deliver God's people from the world, from Egypt. You know what? Moses is a great example of some who would say is unusable. He is. You know what? Look at what he did years ago. He killed a man. Now he's fled from the law. You know what? He would be someone known as an unusable man. But let me say, God used him mightily, as we know. Let me just say this. If you're, as you may be here today thinking that God cannot use you because of some past sin. How often through the ministry I've had people say, "Well, preacher, God can't use me because of this or because of my past or whatever." You know what? We need to learn to get past the past. We need to learn to get past the past. We want to dwell in the past. The truth of the matter is, one reason why we won't grow is because we're stagnating and we're thinking about the past. "Well, I can't go any further because of my past sin." No, maybe you can't be what you could have been had you not gone ahead and taken that trail. But bless God, God can use you today. Don't you use your past, if you will, as an excuse for not doing anything big for God. You may not, again, be able to be used to where he could have used you had you gone ahead and, so to speak, followed the yellow brick road and did right, if you will. But the truth of the matter is, God can use you. Doesn't matter who you are here today. God wants to use you. Don't let your past go ahead and limit you from God's blessings. Don't let your past go ahead and keep you from being what God wants you to be. That's just a little side note. But Moses, he killed a man. He ran from the law. He lived on the backside of the desert for 40 years. And God called him from a burning bush, and he did a great work for God. Let me tell you something. God will call you if you allow him to, if you move away from the past, stop dwelling in the past, Christian, and he'll go ahead and use you if you allow him to. He may use you on a bus. He may use you at a prayer meeting. He may use you to teach a class. Maybe he can't put you behind a pulpit or something, but he still can use you for his glory. Please let him. Moses arrived on the scene from the desert to the very place he ran from years ago, Egypt. God called him out of that burning bush. He arrives on the scene. He goes and confronts Pharaoh and demands to release God's people. In Exodus chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, I'm not going to take time to read that, but we know the story. The Bible says that Pharaoh refuses Moses' demands. It makes the burden even heavier on God's people. It got tougher, as the Bible teaches in Exodus chapter 5, verses 6 through 23, the previous chapter here. It burdened Israel. Israel was burdened to the point of breaking, if you will. They turn on Moses, and Moses turns to God, which is the best thing, by the way. When you don't know what to do, don't you run to the world, run to God. Amen? And that's what Moses do. He kind of turns on God. He turns to God, if you will. And when the man of God, Moses, turns to God, as I read here in Exodus chapter 6, I think he was a little bit frustrated. You know, if you read verse number 22 of Exodus chapter 5, Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? God, you know what you want me? You called me from the burning to do this. You know, I went. Nothing's happening. Why'd you send me, man? God, why'd you go ahead and send me? Why do you want to use me in this matter? God offers Moses here, though. In Exodus chapter 6, God offers Moses some encouragement. You know, let me just say this. You might have a heavy burden this morning. You might have some trials. You might feel a little weighted down this morning. I want to encourage you with the same words that God went ahead and encouraged Moses here in Exodus chapter 6. I want to encourage you this morning. He says some simple words here. Tell them I have heard and remember them and tell them that I am the Lord. I am the Lord. Four different times in Exodus chapter 6, 1 through 8, you go ahead and you'll see God comforting, encouraging Moses. Hey, you know what? Moses, I just want you to understand something. I am the Lord. I know all. I see all. I know what you're going through, but you're going to go ahead and get through this battle, Moses. You're going to be okay. I've called you, and I'm not going to go ahead and give you something that I don't think you can handle, and with me, you can go ahead and handle it. Hey, Moses, I want you to know I am the Lord. Hey, Moses, I want you to go tell the frustrated children of Israel, hey, you know, I am the Lord your God. I've not forgot about them. I hear their groanings. I've not forgot about them. I am the Lord. In other words, Moses, I'm going to care for you. In other words, Moses, you know what? I'm not going to go ahead and leave the children of Israel. I promised them a land, the land of Canaan, a land flowing with milk and honey. I don't back down on my promises, Moses. Hey, you know what? I'm not only going to care for you, Moses, as a leader of the children of Israel, I'm going to care for them too. I'm going to take very good care of them. You may be here. You may be burdened this morning. You might have some sort of fear in your life due to some unexpected event, or maybe a bad report from a doctor. Maybe some trial has come your way. Maybe there's some heartaches. Maybe you kind of, in a sense, you jumped out of the plane, the chutes didn't open, and you're frustrated right now. You might be kind of hanging in the air, so to speak, and you're going very fast towards the ground, so to speak, spiritually. You feel like, well, you know what? I pulled the chutes and nothing happened. You know, nobody's going to be down there to take care of me when I fall, when I get there. May I offer you the same words that God offered Moses. I am the Lord. I'm going to go ahead and take care of you as God says. God cares. He'll care for you. I want to tell you that he is the Lord and he will bring you from your burdens that come your way in your life. You might be, again, under a heavy load and burden. You don't understand. You don't think, I just can't get through this. Hey, what I'm trying to say, you might be frustrated this morning. Hey, but remember, God knows. He knows where you are this morning. Trust him. Trust the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. You may sit here today wondering why the parachute has not opened. You may wonder, man, either truck's going to be missing, if you will. I believe these great words of comfort that God offered Israel and Moses, God can give you that same hope this morning. Remember, I am the Lord. Please know that God cares about all your cares. Please know that God cares about all your heartaches. Please know that God cares about all your financial burdens that you face in life. Hey, I'll give you several things. I think four things here along the way that God cares about. I'll get to the fifth thing if I have time. But God cares, number one, about your frustrations. Moses frustrated here. You may be frustrated this morning. Israel was frustrated here. Israel was under the bondage and under burdens. And by the way, there is a difference between bondages and burdens. He cares about your burdens that you bear this morning. Burdens are those things that trouble us. The burdens are those things that keep on picking, if you will. You know what? Maybe just about the time, you know, we've all been there perhaps. Maybe about the time you kind of win a financial battle. Oh, man, another financial battle comes your way. Maybe about the time that you've gone ahead and you've licked that illness. Oh, another illness comes. Maybe not just to you, but maybe in the midst of your family, those that you love and care about. You know what? Them burdens are those things that trouble you. It might be a worry. It might be about the fact that there's more month than money. Amen? How often that can happen. You know, God, you could shorten this month a little bit. I'm out of money here. But you might be worried this morning. It might be some concerns that you have, maybe because of a bad doctor's report, maybe because of some other unexpected event. Maybe there's some problems. Maybe you lost your job. Maybe you're having a hard time with your child, raising your children. Maybe it's some other bad situation that came in your life. And let me just say this. God cares about your burdens. I am the Lord, according to Scripture. He is the Lord. We all have burdens. We all have struggles. We all have heartaches. We all have problems. We all have concerns. And let me tell you something. There's not a concern. There's not a problem. There's not a heartache in this room today that God doesn't know about. There's not a problem. There's not a concern. There's not a heartache that God is not big enough to handle. Hey, you know what? We serve a big God. He can handle all of our burdens this morning. Amen. You know, by the way, He knows about the economy. Okay, let's get outside this room a little bit. He knows about the job situations out there. He knows about the economy. He knows about the wars and the rumors of wars. He knows all that stuff. Let me tell you something. God's still in control. You know, He cares about everything that goes on. And He, you know, if He so chooses, snap of His finger or at a word spoken, can go ahead and calm the storm. I remember when the disciples were on the boat. You know, the ship was going to and fro and they were all scared and so forth. What's He do? Peace. Be still. You know, maybe there's some unpeaceful events in your life right now, just going back and forth, and maybe you're getting a little seasick. Let me tell you something. God's in control. Let God take control. He knows about your frustrations. He cares about your burdens. Or He cares about your bondage. Bondage are those things that control us. As Egypt had control of the people, again, Egypt is a type of world, okay, if you will, a type of sin and so forth. And as Egypt, the world and sin, if you will, had control of the people of God, you know what? You might be under some bondage this morning. You might be under some substance abuse, maybe alcohol or drugs or cigarettes, and these things have a tendency to take control. Now, I used to run a Christian addictions program back several years ago when I was in Maine. I know people, they would try and try, and by God's grace, they'd go ahead and overcome some things. And so far, I remember this one lady that went through the whole program, Reformers Unanimous, and I picked her up on the bus route, and she came to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and eventually I started with her children, then she went ahead and started riding the bus with her children, then she started riding, I had a night bus up there too, she rode the night bus with her children. Eventually, I had the privilege of not just leading her and her two children to the Lord, I had the privilege of sitting down around the kitchen table there, leading her husband to the Lord as well. Before you know it, you know what? They could have drove in, but they all rode the bus. But she says, I have a problem. Pastor, you know, I want to give up this smoking. She says, it's a nasty habit. It's ruining my health, and I just have a hard time. So I got her in Reformers Unanimous. It's a biblical-based program. It's kind of like a discipleship program, memorizing scripture and different things like that. And she just, but it was amazing to see, little by little, not overnight, but little by little, she just kind of was able to let go. By the end of, like, I think it was 6 months, she graduated from the program. It was a program like that. You go through the booklets and memorize, a lot of memorizing scripture and counseling and different things. By the end of 6 months, she went through she got a little pin saying that she graduated from Reformers Unanimous. She overcame that smoking. You know, bondage, she was bound. She had struggles, and every once in a while, she'd go ahead and through the withdrawal, she'd be crying. She'd come in on Friday night crying and weeping. Oh, Pastor, I went ahead and I had a couple cigarettes this week. Oh, God, oh, Pastor, oh, God. And she would pray, and God, you know, she was frustrated. She was wrapped up. She was in bondage. You might be here this morning. You might be in the same bondage. You say, well, you know what, I can handle it. I can handle it. You know what? It's not got a hold of me. I have my habit all under control. If it's under control, then why is it a habit? Amen. People say, I can give it up any time. And all the while, that substance abuse or whatever the case may be, it might be some other besetting sin that just has a hold of you. And all the while, it's hurting your marriage. It's hurting your job. It's affecting your finances. It's affecting other relationships in your life. And eventually, how often those that are wrapped up all bound up. How often they came, they'd come back to my office and say, Pastor, I don't know what happened. And all the while, you know what? We try to teach and to train them and show them and so forth. They know what happened, but you know what? They were in denial. I can't believe this happened. They're all wrapped up. They were bound up. Let me just stop and say this. If you're there this morning, and by the way, I don't know who you are. I don't know who it is that might be wrapped up in sin this morning, but the Holy Spirit of God does. And if he's picking at your heart this morning, I urge you, why don't you go ahead and lay it out to God and say, oh God, I don't want to be controlled by this. I don't want this sin to control me. I don't want this sin to knock me out of the race, if you will. I want to run so that I may obtain, if you will. I want to keep on keeping on for the Lord. But you know what? You've got some things that may be affecting you, and it's going to affect your marriage. It might affect your job and your money and your possessions. It's got a hold of you and it won't let go. But let me just say this, you can be free from it if you choose. The Bible says in John 8:32, I got it, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Sin will put you in bondage. Sin will go ahead and control you. I've used this illustration before, and I was hesitating whether I would. Cody, come up here a minute. I'm going to use this again. I have used it. Some of you know exactly where I'm going, but it kind of fits, and I'm going to use it. This is what sin will do to you. You know, as I'm walking into this illustration, I think of the Garden of Eden. You know, Adam and Eve had it all up until the old serpent slithered their way in. Of course, the old serpent came into their life just like he does you. He'll go ahead and get you looking at the world, and you know, especially in the midst of your frustrations, when you just are at the verge of, I'm frustrated with God. I don't know if you hear me, and you know, and you start looking at the world, and the world might have some things to offer you that might kind of relieve you. By the way, it doesn't. It doesn't. You know, you just keep looking to God. As I mentioned, as the scripture says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. You know, and the old devil, the old serpent came to Eve, if you will, and said, look at that apple. Look at that fruit. Look at how enticing that fruit is. You know, everything was all right until she went ahead and reached out and, of course, took of that fruit. Everything was fine. And let me tell you something, and it, of course, destroyed her. That's where sin came from. That's why we're under the bondage of sin. That's why we fight the flesh, if you will, in our Christian lives today. And you know what? The devil will do anything he can. Doesn't matter whether you're a mama, whether you're a daddy, whether you're a teenager, child. Doesn't matter who you are this morning. He'll do anything he can to try to get you out of whack. He'll do anything he can to get you out of the will of God, because he dead sure doesn't want, you know, he knows if you're saved this morning, he can't take your soul to hell with him, but he'll do everything he can to get you knocked out of the race. He'll do everything he can to get you knocked out of the will of God. So what's he do? He goes ahead and starts throwing some things. Hey, you know what? Go ahead and look at, hey, here, man. Hold on. Not yet. Just follow. Here. Oh, come on. It looks pretty good. Looks pretty good. You know, it looks pretty good. Come on. You know, it's not going to hurt you. Just one little smoke. It's just one little drink. And by the way, you know what? Nobody becomes an alcoholic till they take the first drink. Amen. Nobody becomes a smoker, a smoke addict like this lady I talk about. You know what? It all started when she took that first puff. Nobody becomes a drug addict. It doesn't matter what it is. Nobody becomes addicted to pornography until they take the first look. You say, well, that's, you know, this, we're in church. That's not, let me tell you something. Don't you put your guard down. Don't you do it. Come on, it's not all that bad. Go ahead and grab it. It's not all that bad. You know? Boy, that's pretty fun, isn't it? Boy, that's pretty good. Good Christian young man. Wanting to serve the Lord. That's pretty neat. That's not going to hurt you that bad. Before you know it, you know what? Indulging in it once kind of began to wrap him up a little bit. I know we've seen this before, but you know what? Listen to me. If sin's got a hold of you this morning, I want you to see where it's going to take you eventually. Some of you, you know what? Listen to me. God cares about your bondage. God not only cares about your burdens, I'm talking about them concerns and them worries that you go through each and every, but he cares about where you are spiritually today. You know, he wants to see you grow. He wants you to do some great things for God. And it doesn't matter who you are. You know what? Moms and dads, you know what? If you're here today, you know you have a ministry. You say, well, I'm not really in the bus ministry. I'm not teaching. No, you have your children. You know, let me just say this. You know what? My ministry is not just Faith Baptist Church. My ministry is not just my bus route that I drive on Sunday morning. Out soul winning Saturday and Thursdays. My ministry is my family. I need to be what they need me to be. And the truth of the matter is, you know what? And I want to do everything I can to keep my family, if you will, from getting wrapped up. That's why we teach and train. That's why sometimes we preach the way we preach. Not just sometimes, maybe a lot of times. That's why we're going to stand for truth. You know, but some here today, you know, you may think you might be all wrapped up in sin. You say, well, you know, God doesn't understand. God doesn't care about me because look at where I'm at. I'm all wrapped up. I'm all bound up by sin. And you know what? You grab a hold of it and you're getting more and more wrapped up. And by the time you are done, the devil's got you so wrapped up that he's got you where he wants. He can control you. And before you know it, your life will be all a shambles simply because it wasn't that bad. It was, you know, it was offered to me. It was only going to be one time. Well, let me tell you something. One time was all it took for Eve. Let me tell you know what? In one time, listen to me, mom and dad. Listen to me, teenager. Listen to me, church member. You've been here for a long time, perhaps. But let me tell you, one time. One look. One taste. One listen to. All it takes, and then you know what? But let me just stop. You don't have to stay here. You know, come back over here. You don't have to stay here all bound up and controlled by the devil. You know what? God can, as I mentioned a moment ago, just because you might have a past here this morning, God can still use you. And my Bible's right, and it's true, and it's real. The Bible says, and the truth shall make you free. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Who's the truth? Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the more that you absorb truth, you know what? He'll say, you don't have to be wrapped up in this sin anymore. You don't have to be tied up and be all bound up, just let go, in this sin anymore, and you can be free. Amen. You can be free. You see him moving around, so to speak, and the Holy Spirit's going ahead and leading him and guiding him and using him. Now, maybe, as I mentioned a moment ago, maybe he has a past that limits him from being everything he could have been. Maybe. You know what? But you don't have to be stuck there. But you know what? Maybe it was just, he just got introduced and he just started getting wrapped up. Praise the Lord that somebody got to him in time and said, come on, Cody, slapped him around sort of like his dad. Come on, man, you don't want this. Come on, man, hey, let go of that thing. Hey, you know the devil's going to get you and he's going to control you. Hey, let go of that thing. Thank God for the leadership, the multitude of counselors in his life. To help lead him in there together and teaching him the word of God and not causing strife. And counselors, his preacher, his mom and daddy, his youth leader, his Sunday school teachers, and those that are here in the church that surround him and pray for him and lead him and guide him. Hey, you know what? Thank God for that so that he doesn't have to have all this mess. Hey, you know what? God cares for you, Vaughn. Thank you, Cody. Thank you very much. God cares about your bondage. You may be here and say, you might be bound up this morning. You might be all tied up this morning. Why don't you just go ahead and decide, hey, you know, I'm not going to let this happen anymore. I'm not going to go ahead and let this rope tie me up anymore. And my God is stronger than the old devil. And God, I'm going to go ahead and lay it out on the altar. I'm not going to be wrapped up anymore. And you know what? Your bondage is frustrating you, isn't it? And really, you might think it's fun right now. And you might think it's a great time right now. But let me tell you something. The scripture says sin's only fun for a season. Only for a little while you'll have pleasure in it. Let me tell you something. Eventually, you know, the chickens will come home to roost. Amen. You're going to come to yourself as a prodigal son did and say, what did I do? Let me tell you something. God didn't put you there. God didn't put you in the pig pen of life. God didn't put you into that bondage. You know, the truth of the matter is you made some choices in your life. You made some choices in your life, mom and daddy. Boy, one time you were serving God. One time you were walking with God and your children knew it. They could see the love of God flowing through you. But somewhere along the way, you picked up something. You think, well, you know what? I can handle it, Pastor. Oh, no, you can't. You might be able to handle it for just a little while, but let me tell you something. It's going to take you, and eventually, in many cases, it'll take your children. It'll take your children. It doesn't have to be that way. Hey, you know what? You know, sin will put you in bondage. It'll control you. Egypt will go ahead and put you in bondage, if you will. God cares about your bondage. He can and he will set you free if you allow him to. But he won't force himself on you. He won't come down and grab you by the nape of the neck and force himself on you. You know, he won't do that, but he lovingly will go ahead and do some things with you if you allow him to. Let him set you free this morning. I remember another lady. Good heart of a lady. She was saved. She was reached through our church, the previous ministry I was in. Poor lady was addicted to prescription drugs. I tried to work with her, and my wife and I even flew her to Texas to the roll-off homes and different things, and I tried to work with her for so long before we got her to Texas. And she was addicted to prescription drugs. By the way, it started with one pill. She was addicted. She was, you know what? And she tried to, you know, how often she said, Pastor, come and flush them all down the toilet. I'd flush them down the toilet, but she found another way to go ahead and get more. Because she'd have withdrawals and so forth. And I often she'd go ahead and call me up and say, Preacher, I'm all ready to kill myself because the drugs had control. I'm all ready to kill myself. I can't take it anymore, Preacher. I can't take it. And how often I would go ahead and get there at her door and she'd have a knife literally right at her wrists. I'd say, listen, Charlene, this isn't worth it. Listen to me, Charlene, this isn't worth it. God loves you. And I'd have to go ahead and pray, and I'd have to say, oh, God loves you. Charlene, God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. There's something bigger and better. She had a couple teenage daughters that didn't live with her at the time. I said, them teenage daughters, they need you. They need you to overcome this. Hey, Charlene, you know, God loves you. Why was it that she was about ready to be? Why was she suicidal? She was in control. She was bound by sin. Hey, you know what? God cares about your bondage. He cares about your frustration. Certainly we see Moses frustrated here. Certainly we see Israel frustrated here. And when they saw the man of God come in, and Pharaoh made it even tougher for him, the scripture says. But God responds to a man of God who just is frustrated and says, hey, Moses, I want you to know I am the Lord. But I want you to know everything's going to be okay. Hey, Moses, I want you to know, I understand. I'm going to help you through this. And you go and you tell them, I promised them the land of Canaan. You go and you tell the children of Israel, I promise I'd care for them. You go ahead and you tell them, I am the Lord. You tell them, I hear their groanings. I hear their hurts. I hear their cries. Hey, I am the Lord. Hey, you know what? Number two, he cares about your freedom. Verse number 6, we see, wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. You know what? He cares about your freedom this morning. God promises Israel that he'll bring them out and he'll redeem them. As in Exodus chapter 12, he redeemed Israel by the blood of the lamb. In the Old Testament, they'd go ahead and take the lamb, if you will, that was without blemish and without blemish and without spot, representing our Savior Jesus Christ, and our Savior that would represent all the sins of the world. His blood would wash away all the sins of the world by Jesus. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 10 through 14. I can't read it right now. Turn to it later. But he redeemed us by his blood of his precious Son. Hey, you know what? This morning, you can be freed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You may be bound this morning, maybe here today. You don't know Jesus as Savior, and as a result, you're all bound up by the world and sin, and the devil's got a hold of you. Hey, let me tell you something. The blood was shed for all. Jesus died for all. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Hey, get to know the truth. He'll set you free this morning. My friend, if you're here today, you don't know Jesus as Savior. Understand you're a sinner. He wants to go ahead and free you from the bondage of the world and sin. And he wants to save you. And he wants to write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life this morning. You don't have to leave here, Faith Baptist Church, not knowing for sure you're on your way to heaven. You can know 100% sure and have God's word on it. Not my word. Not a deacon's word or a Sunday school teacher's word. We're just a messenger to show you from the word of God how you can be saved. But you can leave Faith Baptist Church this morning knowing that you have a home in heaven. Boy, don't push it away. Boy, you can be free this morning. You can be free from your bondage. You can be free from your burdens. True freedom comes when we come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You know, when I got saved, you know what? That's when I understood what true freedom really was. When I got saved, I realized that I wasn't bound by the world anymore. True freedom for the believer starts at the cross of Calvary. Hey, let me ask you a question, Christian. Remember that day? Remember that precious day? Remember that day that someone, maybe some soul winner knocked on your door, or maybe at a church service, here at an altar, or somewhere along the way, you came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and remember how free that you felt? Remember the burdens that were lifted at Calvary? Hey, true freedom for the believer starts at the cross. Hey, God cares about your freedom. God can free you from your sins this morning. Israel had slipped into sin, and our greatest problem this morning, listen, the greatest problem that America has today is a sin problem. And the greatest problem that some of you may be here today, I'm talking to you Christians for just a little while, some of you may be bound up today, and it's a sin problem. And God says, hey, you don't have to be bound up. I care about where you are. Why don't you just go ahead and cast it out? Cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. All you have to do is just throw your burdens and throw your bondage and throw that sin, that easily besetting sin that'll get you out of the race of life, and just cast it at Jesus, and he'll go ahead and carry them burdens. Sin is our greatest problem. That sin problem can be solved through the blood of Jesus Christ if you're not saved. That faith in Jesus provides a perfect eternal cleansing from our sin. In Colossians, just turn to Colossians real quick if you'd like. Follow me here real quickly. I'll move right along here. We're doing well. We're doing well. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which is contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross." You know that sin debt that you have this morning? Maybe bound by sin this morning, you know, it's been nailed to the cross of Calvary. All you have to do is simply go ahead and ask Jesus to forgive you. Faith in Jesus can even give us power to overcome the besetting sins we struggle with in our life. You know what? Not only are you maybe here this morning, you don't know Jesus as Savior, and that's the biggest burden, that's the biggest weight you have. You can know Jesus. Your sins have been nailed to the cross. But let me say this to you, Christian. You know what? Faith in Jesus can give you the power to overcome them besetting sins. Boy, we talked a lot about that last Sunday night. Them sins and them weights, if you will, that get you off track, that get you off course, that get you off the race that God wants you to run. Hey, God frees you from slavery of sin. We can be a slave to sin and be delivered this morning. We can also be a slave to our burdens, allowing them to keep us from going on for God. You know, them worries and concerns, you know what? How often it can distract you from being what God wants you to be if you don't go ahead and let it go. Now, I know, you know what? We're not going to escape this world, if you will, without burdens. We're not going to. You know what? When we escape that, it's going to be heaven. Amen? You know, when we don't have the burdens to carry anymore, and the trials and the deaths and the heartaches and all that goes along with it, you know what? We'll be in heaven. But let me tell you something. You don't have to let them burdens distract you from being what God wants you to be. How often, sometimes, if you're not careful, your burdens will go ahead and distract you from getting to the Word of God. The very thing that you need to try to help you through that burden. You know, if you're not careful, you let your burdens, Christian, distract you from getting to church and getting to the places and getting to godly counsel, getting you to where you can get the encouragement. A lot of Christians will quit on God because they're enslaved by some heavy burden. I've seen it time and time again. They've been enslaved by it, and they think, well, I can go ahead and handle it. No, you can't. You know what? You can only handle it for so long. Before you know it, another burden will come along the way. Before you know it, another burden will come along the way. And all along the way, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You know, Moses was frustrated here. He had some burdens. And you know what? The first thing God said to Moses, hey, Moses, I am the Lord. In other words, I think what God was saying, Moses, I'm going to help you through this. I'm going to help you through this burden. I'm going to help you through your frustrations. Okay, not only does God care about our frustrations, not only does he care about our freedom, but he also cares about our fellowship. In verse number 7, I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. He cares about your fellowship. They suffered, and the suffering brought them closer to God. You know, listen, you ought to let your suffering bring you closer to God than away, instead of away from him. You ought to allow them burdens to go ahead and lift you up. Use your burdens for the glory of God instead of asking why. Why did this happen to me? Use it to go ahead and bring you closer to God. Use that burden to go ahead and help someone along the way in life that you could teach that may go through the same burden. I've given this illustration, I know, several times before, but the greatest burden of my life that I know of in my life, it wasn't a personal one as far as me, happening to me as far as a physical. But it was a burden when my wife contracted cancer. I remember that being the biggest weight of my life for a time. And you know what? I'm going to admit this. For a little while, I tried to do what some of you all do. I was kind of macho Christian. How you doing, Pastor? I'm doing great! In my heart of hearts, I really wasn't. And I knew the formula. I knew what I should be doing. I knew, even as an assistant pastor, I knew what I should do and so forth. Take my burdens to the Lord and leave it there. But I'll admit, you know what? Because, I mean, I was in the high of my ministry at that time. Things were really going well. I'd seen God do some miraculous things in the life of the teenagers and the bus ministry that I oversaw, many, many great things. And then this, and I said, this just isn't fair. This just isn't right. And you know, the truth of the matter is I started having myself a pity party. Hey, let me ask you a question. Before you go ahead and start pointing finger at your preacher here, have you been there? Doesn't matter. Might be similar burden, might be something else. But I started, you know, having a little pity party. And the truth of the matter is, you know what? I started playing and acting, you know, hey, how's everything going? I'm doing great. I wasn't. And the truth is, for just a brief, minuscule moment of time, so to speak, I really felt myself drifting away. I really came to a point where, why do I even do this? My wife's contracted cancer. Why do I even do this? And the truth of the matter is, I thank God this happened to me. I didn't necessarily get in the pig pen like the prodigal son did, but I had to come to myself in tears and sweat behind a closed door. Just cry out to God and say, God, I can't do this anymore. God, I can't do this anymore. I don't know why. But the truth of the matter is, in a scope of about 3 or 4 hours, span of about 3 or 4 hours, time, God kind of whipped me around a little bit. He kind of wrestled me, if you will, literally, so to speak. And you know, I got my heart right. I wasn't going to be bound by this disease. I wasn't going to let it go ahead and bother me. You know, the truth of the matter is, you know what? I was watching my wife, and through it all, she had the smiles. Proves her godliness. That's all I can say. Through it all, she had the smiles, and she says, yeah, I'm going to lick this thing and so forth. And all the while, I was over here just a little while early on. God, why is this happening? I had to shave my wife's hair off. Why, God? I don't understand this. I don't quite get it. You know what? Until that night, that 3 or 4 hours that I spent with God, and God just literally just kind of slapped me around a little bit, and I got my heart right, I never left an office more freer than after that time. You know, listen to me. The danger, some Christians, you're about ready to quit on God. You're going through the motions. I'm doing great! In your heart of hearts, you haven't knelt in prayer in a long time. And you know what you need to do. You need to get back in the book. You need to go ahead and get on your knees in prayer and say, okay, God, before this thing hurts me and destroys everything that you've done for me, my family, my children, whatever, I give it to you. It may be more than just a five-minute deal, though. It may be more than just a half an hour. It might be just a long season in prayer, just you and God. It might be you just having to shed the tears and just let it all come out. And just say, okay, God, I can't take this anymore, but I know you can. God, help me. Forgive me and move me. Help me get out of this rut so that I can be the kind of youth, at that time, be the kind of youth pastor, be the kind of daddy, be the kind of husband, be the kind of leader that I'm to be. Hey, listen, God cares about your fellowship. It might be that he's using a trial in your life to try to bring you closer to him. You know, that big ordeal of cancer and stuff, let me tell you something. I have never, as a result of that, and I still say it today, this is 3 years that she's clean, and thank God for that. But let me tell you something. I'm not trying to sound hyper-spiritual. I'm just giving you my heart this morning. I don't feel any closer to God than I do now. Because I believe a few years ago, it was in the November of 2006, God used a big, huge trial to bring me closer to him. Let me tell you something. It might be this morning, time and time again, you see the trials that Israel went through and what it did as a result, it brought him closer to God. And it might be this morning, you're bearing some burden, and you know that you can't bear it anymore. You're going around macho-like and saying, I'm doing fine, but the truth of the matter is you're not. Why don't you go ahead and allow that burden to bring you closer to God, the very one that can give you the strength, uphold you, lift you up out of the miry clay, set your feet on a rock, and establish your goings this morning. Why don't you go ahead and trust in a God like that this morning? Might be that you're going through difficulty so that he can get your attention. Might be that you're going through a trial so that he can tries to get your attention back to him. It could be that he's trying to get you to recognize that, hey, I am the Lord. Hey, I'm over here, not over there. Follow me. Come over here. This might be what he's trying to do. Then he cares about your future. He promised more than just deliverance from Egypt to Israel. He promised a land flowing with milk and honey. He promised it. And God has promised you things too. God's promised you to deliver you from the fiery furnace of your life, from the heartaches and from the lion's den of your life, if you will. God's promised to deliver you. It might be that you're here this morning and you don't see a way out, but he's promised a deliverance. He's promised you a land, so to speak, flowing with milk and honey. And he's promised you a future for Israel, and he's promised a wonderful future for you, Christian. Think of it. Heaven. That's your future. This world is not my home. I'm just a passer through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me through heaven's open door. No, I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Why? Because he's my Lord. He's my Savior. And I'm not going to be struggling with these burdens anymore. One day, it's all going to be lifted off. I'll be running up and down, and I trust that you, as a child of God, be running up and down the streets of gold, attaining your mansion, resting in the arms of Jesus one day. Amen? He cares about your future. Hey, listen, and I'm through. Maybe here today, Christian, you've got some things in your life. You got some burdens in your life. They're just about knocking you out of the race. I'm using the word race a lot because that's our theme this year. You've got some burdens, you've got some trials in your life, and you're trying to macho your way through it, and yeah, I'm doing great and so forth, but the truth of the matter is, today maybe you're as far away from God as you ever have been because you've not gone ahead and just given them to God. And you're just about ready to quit. You're leaning to your own understanding. You're not trusting in the Lord as you should. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know, he wants you to acknowledge him this morning with that pressure, with that trial, with that concern, or that worry. There's more month than money. I'm ill, or whatever the case may be. He just wants you to go ahead and trust him this morning. But as a result, you're trusting in your own way. And as a result, you might have reached out to some things, some sinful things, that as I illustrated a while ago with Cody, that's binding you up. And who's got control? When that happens, it's not God. And the truth of the matter is, my friend, this morning, allow God to have, he wants to have control. He wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. He wants to give you strength. He'll lift you up out of that miry clay, but you've got to be willing. He says to Moses, to a burdened down Moses, I am the Lord. And he tells a man of God, he says, you go and you tell the children of Israel who are crying and who are hurting, I'm the Lord their God. Tell them, I hear their cries. Tell them and remind them, I promised them a land which is flowing with milk and honey. You may be here this morning, you just frustrated, and you just don't feel like going anymore. I just want to encourage you with them four words. According to God, he is the Lord. In other words, he'll take care of you. And if you're here today, you don't know Jesus as Savior. I say this time and time again, you know the most precious, greatest life there is, it's a Christian life. I love being saved. I love the fact that I can get up every single day, and you can too, knowing 100% sure that I'm on my way to heaven. You could know it too. The Bible says in 1 John 5:13, if you're here today and you feel empty, you don't know for sure you're on the way to heaven. The Bible says you can know it. 1 John 5:13, the Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Note the words, believe on the name of the Son of God, not believe on a church or a religion or an ordinance or a preacher or a rabbi or a priest or some other leader. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. My friend, if you're here today, you don't know Jesus as Savior, let me just say that you can leave Faith Baptist Church knowing they have eternal life. You know, the greatest burden you bear this morning, lost one, is the fact that you don't know for sure you're on your way to heaven. And I plead with you, come and get to know the truth. Someone will show you from the Word of God and introduce you to the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The only way that I could get to where God is, which is in heaven, is only through Jesus Christ. If you're here today, you don't know Jesus as Savior, well, won't you come to know him today? And we'll have someone show you from the precious Word of God how you could know for sure you're on your way to heaven. You got to understand a few things. The Bible says you got to understand you're a sinner. Realize you're a sinner. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us have sinned. Number two, there's a price for our sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Our sin has a debt to it, has a payment to it, and it's paid for, the Bible says, by death. That word death there is not talking about a physical death, dying of natural. It's talking about a spiritual death, being separated forever from God, from heaven, in a place called hell. That word death, you see the same definition of that word death in Revelation 20:14, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. You know, God wants to save you, but God saw your need. He saw our lost condition. So, boy, he designed a divine plan to get you to where he is. He sent his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, note that word right there, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but everlasting life. If you're here today, you don't know Jesus as Savior, won't you, in just a little while, you step out from where you are You have the courage to step out from where you are. You shake this preacher's hand, say, "Preacher, I want to know for sure I'm saved." And we'll have someone show you from the Word of God how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Because the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You're a whosoever this morning. I'm glad I was a whosoever. I'm glad I realized I was a sinner. I realized that there was a price on sin. The scripture says that price is hell. But Jesus, he paid the price. He nailed all of our sin debt on that cross, as we read a while ago. He paid for all of my sin debt. And all I had to do was simply open my heart, call upon him, ask him to come into my heart and save me. And he says, "I'll do it. Whosoever shall call." Not might call. "For whosoever shall go to church, for whosoever shall do good works, for whosoever shall do..." No. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You can know it this morning. Christian, it's probably the majority of us here this morning. What's going to knock you out of the race will be that trial, if you don't daily walk hand in hand with Lord Jesus Christ. If you allow that trial to grow bigger and bigger and bigger, before you know it, you'll be reaching out to things that you thought, "I'll never do that." Before you know it, you become so weak spiritually, you start reaching out to things that you never thought you would. And eventually you'll be bound, and you'll wonder eventually, "How in the world did I get here?" The truth of the matter is, it might have started way back yonder a long time ago, when you had this one little burden. And you know that you can cast them burdens upon the Lord, but he said, "No, I'm going to deal with it. But it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Before you know it, you start losing focus on the Christian life. You start losing focus on the cross, the race that God has set before you. Before you know it, you might be, "How did I get here?" You might be frustrated this morning because of it. Moses was frustrated. God encouraged him. "But you know, Moses, I am the Lord. I hear you. I know where you are this morning. I'm going to take care of you. I know where the children of Israel are this morning. You go tell them. I promised them, and I'm going to go ahead and deliver them. And Moses, you're the man. You're going to finish the job. You're going to go ahead and lead them people, my people, out of bondage." Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I just try to be very practical this morning, God. I pray, Lord, that your message came out clearly and understandably this morning. God, I pray that you'd help some heavy heart here today. I'm sure there's several. I'm sure there's several here today. They're Christians. They know for sure they're on their way to heaven, but they're dealing with some things in their life right now. Maybe they've been dealing with some things for a long time, and it's maybe brought them right to the edge of whether they keep on going for you or not. I pray, dear God, some burdens would be lifted at Calvary today. I pray, dear God, that some burdens would be lifted at the altar today. I pray, God, that if there's a soul here today, they don't know for sure they're on their way to heaven, that today would be the day of salvation. I pray, God, that they take courage and step out of their seat, shake my hand, say, "Pastor, I want to know for sure I'm on my way to heaven." Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Maybe here today you say, "Preacher, I don't know for sure I'm saved. Truth of the matter is, I know the heaviest burden I'm bearing is the fact that I don't know Jesus as Savior. And I'm frustrated. And I don't want that frustration anymore. I know that God is a God of peace, and he'll give me a peace that passes all understanding. But, you know, truth of the matter, I don't know Jesus as my Savior. Would you just, in just a moment, I will not embarrass you in any way, shape, or form, but would you just raise your hand and say, "Preacher, that's me. I don't know for sure I'm saved, but would you just please pray with me about it? I won't call you by name, but would you just please pray with me about it?" Anybody at all? Anybody in this room? You don't know Jesus as Savior, but just please pray with me about it. Anybody at all? Maybe you're here today, you say, "Preacher, I know I'm saved, but I got some baggage. I got some things in my life. I'm frustrated because I've picked up some junk and some baggage in my life. And I know it's slowing me down from the race that God wants me to run." Maybe here today you say, "Preacher, would you please pray?" I won't embarrass you, but would you please pray with me about it? Anybody at all? Anybody else? Keep your hand up. Good night. Okay, you may put your hands down. Let me go ahead and speak to a third group for maybe you're here today, and a trial just came your way. You've been serving God and you're focused on the Lord, but you know what? A trial just came your way. But I urge you, why don't you, before that trial gets any bigger? Maybe you have not acknowledged the Lord yet, but you just need to, you know what? A trial just came my way, a burden just came my way, and I don't want this thing to go ahead and get me out of whack. You know what? I'm going to just go ahead and I'm going to get God involved in this thing today. Maybe you're like that today. You're serving the Lord. You're serving Him. You're doing everything you can for Him. But you know what? Some things have just kind of fell my way. And preacher, would you just pray with me about it? Anybody like that? Anybody at all? Our Heavenly Father, you know the hands. I pray, God, that you bless this invitation. Our heads are bowed. We do have our Lord's Supper. If you can be here for that, that'd be great. That's in our evening service choir, 5:10. And I look forward to that. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for today, God. We thank you for that burdens are lifted at Calvary. We thank you, God, for being there for us each and every day, 365 days a year. You never take time off from hearing our call. I pray, dear God, that the burdens that are in this room this morning of people, some of the people, they came, they just needed to hear something from the Word of God to encourage them to keep on keeping on for the Lord. And I pray, dear God, that you'd be with them. Pray, God, that you'd ease their burden a little bit lighter as a result of them being under the preaching this morning. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you just continue to lead and guide. God, give us safety as we go our separate way. Bring us back safely for the service tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.